settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, a show that's designed to help you unravel the truth about the nature of your existence. And by that, we mean your physical and non-physical existence. Through our gifts of mediumship, my husband Mick and I are able to bring you communication direct from the spirit world, from deeply loving people who care about the welfare and the well-being of us and our planet. The idea is that armed with knowledge, we can become self-empowered by creating our own reality based on truth and the awareness of the bigger picture of life. And this week's show is called Affinity with Communication.
Well, hello. I am Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. Thank you. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m. PST. If you want to know more about us, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, or you can go to spiritsworkradio.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and on the show each week, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. And because he is a spokesperson for a group of highly evolved individuals from all walks of life and specialist subjects, we are able to bring knowledge and wisdom that could never be gained in any other way. When I go into the trance state, my consciousness and my spirit will be taken, transported by the scientific members of the team, and Gregory Hay will borrow my physical body to speak with you. So I will not know of anything that's gone on during the program during this time that I'm away. So unfortunately, I will actually miss everything that happens. But I actually do catch up eventually. I think I'm about a year and a half behind at the moment in my listening to different shows.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Oh, at least, yes.
Yes. Gosh. Okay.
I catch a snippet of them when I'm putting them onto the hard drive, but that's about it, and That's it.
Oh, well. The important people hear it. Okay, well, sometime after Gregory's physical death in 1723, he was asked to train to be representative for this educational group of spirits who wanted to help the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life, to assist us onto a road of recovery and raise the vibration of the planet. This group is called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of, scientific minds, many high minds, and experts from all avenues of life, including ordinary people who have a valuable input to make. Through our shows, our books, and our CDs, we hope to cover just about every subject conceivable. It's all about observations and facts, and this may also then help those who are to come after us, who want a physical life on Earth. Our aim as the mediums for the group is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts to spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet, of course. And I'd just like to say, if you have an idea for a subject for one of our shows that you would like us to discuss, then do email us at enq@spirit-teaching.com. And also I'd like to say that we will be having our other bag of mini free Akashic readings on the 11th and the 14th of June. That's the Monday evening show and the Thursday afternoon show. So if you think that you might like a free mini Akashic reading, they're 10 minutes long. We would need your full name at birth. That's your first, middle, and last name. Your date of birth, your telephone number, one question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. So basically your Akashic records, your Akashic book, is a documentation of your eternal life. So basically the reading will give you information that you've probably never had access to before. You'll find out about your soul group in the spirit world, where you came from before you came here. You'll find out the name of your soul group, what you did there. You'll find out your doorkeeper's name, or if you like to call it, your guardian angel's name, and all about that, and obviously some spiritual guidance along your way. So, if you would like to get in touch with us, email us at enq@spirit-teaching.com for a mini Akashic reading. And once again, our website is www.spirit-teaching.com if you'd like to find out more about us. If you would like to call the show today and join us with a question to Gregory relating to our subject, it's not a reading, but join us in with our conversation, or join in on our conversation with us, or ask Gregory a question. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. And international callers, it's not free, but it's only a short phone call, so it won't be that much. And the number is 001, that's the international code. And then the number to dial after that is 530-876-3222. So, here's Gregory.
Hello, friend.
Hello.
With love and light, as always, friend, may peace be upon your pathway.
Thank you. So today, we're going to be discussing an affinity with communication.
Yes.
Would you like to explain?
Yes. Well, first of all, I feel that we should really talk about what is affinity with anything. What is it that you actually register within your mind if you have an affinity with something? You have a likeness for it. You have a passion for it, possibly. You have a leaning toward it. So you are feeling as though it is something which is actually bringing you recognition of self, perhaps something that you can become involved in your physical life or in your spiritual endeavors. You may have an affinity with a certain aspect of spiritual evolution. Perhaps it is to do with a specific train of thought. And what you do is you actually create the intention within yourself to actually multiply the profound energy that draws you toward a specific subject. It means then, if you have affinity with something, you are coupling with it, you are attracted to the vibration, to what the connotation of whatever that affinity means. It may be that you have an affinity with music, with art. You don't necessarily have to be able to engage in it yourself, but that it is something which draws your attention, which perhaps fires your imagination some way. Perhaps it actually helps you to expand a sense of an awareness that you have of your inner light journey. Affinity with communication. What we're actually talking about here is for you as a physical being, how you bring about thoughts in your mind, and you look at thoughts, you analyze them, and if you are in a situation of communication, that you want to communicate something, it may be, of course, that you communicate in silence because you're deaf or dumb. Or perhaps you communicate in silence as a form of recital. Perhaps you are trying to bring something out that you are feeling with your physical state, but you don't have words to describe it. And so you use your hands, your arms, to make patterns and shapes with your body to show other people how you feel. Some people have an affinity with communication, particularly perhaps if they are very, very upset about something. And they will actually gesture and use physical movements in order to get across how they are feeling. So that's communication without sound. You may actually be using sign language or something like that. You're still communicating. It may be actually quite difficult in that sense to bring about the real temper of your emotion within yourself. If you are feeling very emotional about a certain subject, it is possibly quite difficult to just purely sign language, stand there and do it without creating expression, without creating feeling and emotion behind it. Yes, that is something of a physical state. But actually, my dear friends, what you are also doing is through communication, you are actually encouraging communication of your physical state with your spirit. When you have affinity with communication, it's a little bit like illuminated speaking, shall we say. Now, by illuminated speaking, I mean that perhaps you are not one who would normally, in the normal run of things, that you would normally actually feel that you could stand up in front of people and say something, or that you could even perhaps voice an opinion about a specific subject. Perhaps because you feel it's not your place, or maybe you feel that you may be out of step with someone else to voice your own opinion. These situations can often feel quite stifling to some people. They may even feel suffocated by their own lack and ability of communication. But my dear friends, when you actually have a real affinity with communication, it's easy. So how on earth can you discover the field of resistance that you are facing and acknowledge it and overcome it? That's something that you really need to do. Not keep quiet, but actually to voice your opinions. It appears that for many people, they have lost the art of communication. Lost the art of communication altogether, preferring instead perhaps to passively watch and take in communication coming from someone else and taking that communication as face value. Not perhaps inquiring about it, not actually asking for veracity of this communication. How is this to be truth? I understand that many people actually look at situations, sentences, feelings, discussions or whatever that they come across, and they will make up their own judgments, their own mind, their own decision about a specific thing. But what if this situation is so very, very close to your heart that you really feel that you just must say something? Or perhaps it's a political point and you've just had enough. How familiar is that? The point is, you see, that it perhaps only becomes something assigned to you, something that you feel is relevant in your life, if you already have an affinity with that subject. But that isn't having an affinity with communication itself. It's just having a leaning or a harmonic view toward a specific subject. But what we're trying to get you to do here in this situation is to embrace all subjects, everything, everything there is on the planet. Don't just narrow your view into one field of expertise and think that is going to resolve the problem for you. because you will find that further on along your pathway of life, you will actually discover that there are a lot more other situations which run crisscross through synchronicity, through those different pathways that human beings become involved with. It will simply run across that your thoughts and your views, how you had perhaps left that particular subject because you didn't really want to find out about it. Perhaps it may have been something political. It may not. It may have been something toward the environment. I know a lot of people, I observe a lot of people in the physical world, from the spirit world, who actually try to shrug away from responsibilities of environment, or even refusing to want to really know the truth. Perhaps even denying that the truth of what is being said at present in the media is a truth at all. So they don't really have an affinity with communication because they are not utilizing what is actually a plainly spoken observation. So if that sort of observation doesn't actually fire anything within your illumination, doesn't inspire you to want to say something to do with it, even if it's in the negative, even if you say that you don't believe it, at least you have an opinion. You've thought about it, possibly, or possibly not. You may have just been echoing somebody else's view because you heard it, and you never really bothered to think about it, but it just seems so easy for some people because perhaps of their political allegiance or something like that. So they may just go along with it and say it doesn't exist. Just like, I suppose, many people would say that aliens don't exist, or that such situations with alien races could not possibly work out, quite simply because perhaps through the SETI program or something like that. Oh, we haven't come up with any evidence of it. Not that's been brought to light, perhaps. But the evidence is there. The evidence is there with all of the different sightings all over the world, all over your side of life. The physical evidence. Yes, I admit some of them are fraudulent photographs, but some of them aren't. And they do exist. Many, many, many different cultures exist outside of the human form, who are intelligent or super intelligent or hyper intelligent. From lizard forms to all different other forms. From opaques to mirage-like beings who actually don't even conform to one specific form, but actually morph and change and alter their shape at will. They may not even be energies that you can see and observe. And yet they bring inspiration and communication. Affinity with communication is a key toward all life. All life exists within it. You will see different forms of bear will communicate with wolves, will communicate with birds. Birds will communicate with them, will warn them about situations. Affinity with communication. They have it, they see it, they experience it, and take part. Do you want to take part? Do you want to be a part of your physical life, or do you just want to sit there and observe it and do nothing, say nothing, not object, not voice and say yay? You must have a mind, you must have a thought, a conclusion you've reached. That is affinity with communication.
Okay, well, a few things there, isn't there? One of the most difficult things that I find, I think, and most people will agree, is explaining and describing emotion and feelings to people. obviously we've only got the language, the English language, if you're English. You know, like we've only got words, actually, that we can do that with in a way that sometimes it just doesn't work, does it? Is that when temper and frustration and that sort of thing, lack of control can play, drive you away from your spirit communication, if you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Is that the easiest way to lose it?
Yes, I would say so. And also, of course, lack of control is tempered perhaps with ability of whether you are actually able to collect words and make them bring your sensitivity out towards someone else.
Mm.
If you cannot do that, you will feel frustrated. You will face this as a form of anger at yourself. And yet that anger is then transposed to someone else, to the person you're targeting, perhaps. That usually is what tends to happen in breaking down about relationships and arguments that people have. People have arguments purely because they may be frustrated at someone else's lack of inner sight of what they are trying to see or what they're trying to say to someone else. The point is, of course, that what they are saying, or what you may be saying to someone else to try to convince them of your worth or what your thoughts are or something like that, you may actually be saying inadequately or in a way that they cannot understand. Perhaps they are too negatively displaced in order to even bring that understanding into their minds. That's a whole minefield altogether. Purely because people then become angry, destructive, and that source of negativity lowers the vibration, as you rightly say. Lowers the vibration, and then they feel, then you as an object of that feel, I cannot break out. And that is when anger takes over.
So, okay, so if you've got an affinity with communication on a accurate level, and you are in tune with your spirit, and your words that you are speaking are being, as it were, channeled from your higher self, and you're speaking them.
Yes.
By losing your temper, then do you lose the connection with your spirit at that moment?
Yes. I am not talking here about I am not talking here about if you are trying to be forceful about a situation because you feel most passionately about it. That isn't anger. That is raising the vibration of your connection and using the force of your conviction behind it. Your empathy, your affinity with the subject is something then which helps you to expound it, to create it larger than life, so that perhaps it is a way that someone else perhaps will be able to understand it. You would find in this situation that you would perhaps try to describe something in many different ways in the desperate attempt for this other person to understand what you're trying to convey. So that's an important part of the structure of language and the structure of communication, to remember that perhaps not all of it is in a very cold way.
So, okay, so I know somebody in particular, actually, who is very good at expressing themselves. They never seem to lose their cool. You know, they'll say, okay, I'll say it another way, and they just can keep doing that and keep doing that, and it's just amazing. Other people would get totally frustrated and gradually get,
more, pull their hair out.
Yes, more and more frazzled about it. So does that mean that person who is cool, calm, and collected, does it mean that person is more in tune with their spirit and has a steadier connection with their spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
It's immediate, you see, because the point is that when you are connected to your spirit, and we're setting aside here the emotional context of it, whether you are actually emotionally involved with a specific subject, we are saying if you are really just trying to bring across a point of view. And then what actually happens is that you are very assured of your point of view because your connection is perfected. And when your connection is perfected in this way, you are, I admit, using much of the resilience of the mind, you're using the conscious physical effort, you're using the data and the knowledge you already have within the processes of the mind that you've already learned through the education of self and through the education of your lifefold journey. This actually means, of course, that as you progress through life, and so long as your connectivity with your physical brain matter, cell material, and the synapse are all in working order, it simply means that you are then able to connect more and more the different areas of the physical brainwave pattern and also ensure that the electrical pulses are still accurate and are not inflamed in some way by your negative physical anger, because that actually as well is something physiologically that will happen to you if you become overexposed, if you become overextended perhaps in your communication and you actually then lose the plot, as it were, and you could actually then become quite volatile and find that you've lost your way, and that again will create anger within yourself and will then lead to disarray of words.
Yes, well, what if that person, the cool, calm, collected person, isn't speaking about something, say to this other person, say this fiery person that loses
yes,
it.
Yes.
What if the thing that they are discussing isn't something that is so passionate in the calm person's mind, that it isn't something that they are so have such a leaning towards?
Well, it may well be, of course. Yes, they may not have such a leaning toward it, but they can still voice an objective point of view. And sometimes you will see that some people who are cool, calm, and collected will do this just for fun, because they can, because perhaps they want to see a result, not very kind, perhaps. But you understand that mm-hmm. they will actually perhaps use a person's own inner anger against themselves, just to really perhaps maybe even to show them how they really are toward others as a learning situation.
But isn't that just two different types of people as well, though? I mean,
it can be.
We've spoken before about leaders, and I'm not saying just because
yes.
you're quiet and calm and collected.
That you're going to be a good leader.
Or that you're going to be a couch potato. You might not be either.
No.
But but very often people that are leaders are maybe plain speaking.
I understand that. They may well be plain speaking, yes. They may actually have certain other inner qualities of leadership, like courage and other virtuous, positive traits. The point is, of course, that you could have a person who has acres of courage, yet they still may misplace it. They may have been misdirected in where to put their courage, into going to this by someone else. Perhaps they have taken an order from someone else who actually knows they're going to pass, but they're sending them to their doom.
Yes, well, I actually don't call a leader a leader somebody that really is elected. I mean, I think somebody is a leader that everybody will look up to, like, you know, in nature, like you would get the alpha dog in a wolf pack or something.
Absolutely so, yes.
It doesn't have to fight for its position. It is just respected, isn't it?
Yes, and it is actually that duality of respect from all of the other inhabitants of the group which ensures that being stays where they are.
Mm.
In other effects, really, that you are, in a sense, looking and observing that all the other beings within the group are actually acknowledging this leader's superior quality of courage, stamina, understanding, knowledge, pathways,
respect
and that kind of thing.
Respect is a big one, isn't it?
Respect is huge, yes, absolutely so, I would say so. And that perhaps is something which is still, I would have to say, quite difficult to keep and to continue with in the spirit world. It's something that has to be worked upon. Respect isn't something that you're just given, perhaps because you are from a specific religious group or something like that, much to the deference of those in physical life.
Or if you're royalty, or if you're a member of parliament.
Oh yes, absolutely so. It makes no difference in the spirit world.
No.
What you've engaged in or where you were from. What makes the difference is how you are, how loving you are, how you create for the needs of others, how you provide something of wellness for someone else who seeks.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about affinity with communication. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open, or if you'd just like to join in with the conversation with Gregory. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the US, 877-876-5227, and also Canada, 888-810-8322. International callers isn't free, but it's not going to be a long call, so it shouldn't be too expensive. It's 001-530-876-3222. I'd like to just go back to the plain speaking, actually.
Yes.
Because there's times when a plain speaking person can be said to be quite admired, really. You like that trait about a certain person.
Absolutely so.
To somebody else, that person might be too plain-speaking. It might actually rub them up the wrong way.
Not showing their intelligence enough or something like that.
Well, yeah, it could be a number of things. And I don't just mean what the things that they're saying, because they disagree with what they're saying. They just find that sort of person grates on them. Even if they're not loud and brash, if they're just somebody that actually speaks their mind. Is this a good trait to have, that you are plain speaking?
I feel so, yes, because if you don't say what's on your mind, it will fester, will it not? That's part of the problem that so many human beings in physical life have at this present time. Quite simply because if you don't let it out, it will create disturbance. If you have a disagreement about something and you don't voice it, aren't you going to become frustrated because you haven't voiced it? Are you going to actually feel aggrieved because not only have you not taken the chance to voice an opinion, but you haven't actually met with it either? So, in a sense, people who will do that, who will not actually create a situation where they can voice an opinion, that means that they have no voice. So surely it means that they cannot actually create change. People usually bring voice of communication because they want to have an effective change upon a situation, whatever that is. It may be telling your children that they cannot go out and ride their bikes. It may be telling your children that you cannot borrow the car. You cannot, perhaps, go out and do this or do that that they want to do because they have homework to do, and they must do that first. That's voicing an opinion. In just the same way, my friends, you must voice an opinion about the way that other people treat you and about the way that you feel you are being treated. If you don't, it will go on happening. So if you don't actually create the change within yourself and learn to understand that you can have an effect, if you just walk around with your mouth shut and say nothing, then the same things which bring exasperation to you will continue to happen. In fact, will become amplified. Because the less that you communicate to it, that you contribute to it, the more alienated you will feel from it. And therefore, you will feel that it's not your world, not your life. You will get despondent by many other methods than seeing other negative situations within the things of your life as they run past you. As life continues, you see?
Mm. Well, you know, a lot of it, I think, as well, is you want people to like you. So I think that comes into it a lot with people. That you, I'm sure everybody can recognize that. That they, everybody knows somebody that you know that they what they feel about something, and yet they don't say it. When you think they're going to say what they feel, they don't say it, and you think, oh, no, that's because they don't want the other person not to like them. Or
yes, or perhaps they don't feel confident in the thoughts and feelings that they have.
Well, yes, there's that as well. Well, your opinion can seem so trivial at times. Yes, it can.
Well, yes, but
that... Other times it just comes bursting out, doesn't it?
Yes, but that as well is a situation about what form of respect you have for the other person as well. If you have great high respect for someone and yet they're talking absolute cobblers, it doesn't mean to say that the cobblers that are coming out of their mouths are going to treat you any different. Any differently. Purely and simply, my friend, you have to be able to say, I don't agree with you. I don't... Yes? You have to voice something, because otherwise the respect that you're supposed to have from them or for them will just simply diminish. It will evaporate away.
Well, I suppose it all depends if it's going to, if it's worth making a difference to whatever it is you're talking about. So we're talking about two things, aren't we, here? We're talking
yes.
about the effect that it's going to have on you, and we're talking about the effect that it's going to have on the other person
yes.
as well. And is it worth it? Is it going to change anything by you saying anything apart from... Well, it will do, because it's like throwing a stone in. There's going to be a ripple effect, whatever,
yes,
isn't there?
Absolutely so, my friend. It's exactly the same as perhaps a child talking to their parents, and there is a generation difference there. It exists there purely because one person has already done much in their life and have graduated and have found great paths of knowledge, etc., and the other person is looking at it from a purely puritanical point of view, as children do. They don't necessarily see that you are going to understand them, and therefore they try to find different pathways over their argument so that they can perhaps persuade you to think in their way. They don't understand that you're actually thinking about it. You're perhaps acknowledging where they're coming from, but actually can see the pathway they're trying to bring about.
Is there a specific type of person I know, I've heard before that, and I can't say that I know a lot about this, but in psychology, there are specific types of people. I don't know if they, do they call them A types and B types and that sort of thing of people?
Probably.
Apart from that, are there specific types of people that, do we need to have these different types of people, ones that plain speak? Speak out, ones that don't, ones that are followers. And I mean, isn't that part of the great mix?
Absolutely, it is part of the great mix. My point really is that if you are really going to try to progress in the life, in the physical life that you have, you need to get a grip upon how you communicate matters of form, how you communicate matters of personal difference. Otherwise, no one is going to know that how you think is different to how they think. Therefore, you are not going to find a median view which will actually create further understanding and harmony. You will feel isolated because of your lack of ability to speak. Your lack of ability to communicate your innermost feelings means that someone else's innermost feelings will overcome yours. Therefore, your difference will diminish. In fact, what you are trying to do is not fight with them over it, but to actually illuminate that the way your thinking path is has come from a completely different direction. Each one is instrumental in the other's makeup. You think for a moment. How have you come to the points of view that you have? You have actually sat for many hours, thousands of hours throughout your life, maybe listening or acknowledging other people's points of view, how they have come to thought processes in their own life journey, how they have made sense to you or have been repelled by you, simply because of your decisions and judgments of how you have made of those thoughts and feelings. This is something which helps to make up your life. You are the process, the progress of your environment. So, my friends, if you have a culture, if you have a community who is violent, they're only violent because everyone else is. They're only acting that way out of the duality of purpose. If you look and observe a particular part or segment of a community, perhaps it's in a specific district of a large city, and that you acknowledge that many people exist within that community who are violent or who are angry. What are you going to observe about that anger in the community? You are going to see, for example, that the ambience of that community will be disheveled, will be diminished, will be negative, will be implosive, so that those people will feel as though they have no voice. The reason they continue to be angry is because they have no voice, and they will continue in that downward spiral of negativity, creating further and further anger and violence as they go throughout their life. So you may have these people who actually are a part of your family group, and yet you have nothing to do with them because they're angry and violent. Why are they angry and violent? Because of the environment they live in, which is propelling them into that cul-de-sac of energy. So what you have to do is, how are you going to deal with this? If you allow them the benefit of their violence over their children are going to be violent too. You have to be able to break the cycle of what you see. That takes communication, affinity with communication in an educational setting through children and their welfare and their well-being, is to create something of space that they can actually then sit in or be in or create for themselves, because they have knowledge of it, so that they can step away from the violence fields of their own inhabitants, of their own place in their community. In that way, they can grapple with other knowledge which is outside of their prior existence. Their present knowledge is only limited by the birth of their experience. If they and you create different birth experience through communication, you will give to them a gift, a treasured gift of purity, that they will then be able to alter their negativity into something more harmonic, something more giving.
Well, yes, if you suppress anybody's character that's just a recipe for disaster anyway, isn't it?
Yes, but so many cities do it. Communities
absolutely,
do it.
Yes. I mean, on the other hand, you have the other people that group together are, you know, people like with religious leanings or...
Yes.
But apart from that, you have to know when not to argue and when to say what you think or not. And we tend to, don't we, respect the religious differences.
Well, yes.
Out of respect, because we wouldn't want it said to us as well. And because you know it's a no-go area, it's like, well, this is not going to actually go anywhere and prove anything and it's not going to make anybody feeling any better.
Of course, yes, because they have already made up their minds. Their solution is set in stone.
Yes. But there is a healthy respect that you can have, and there are lines that you don't cross, and you hope other people don't cross.
Yes.
With you, which I find quite an interesting game, if you like.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
so
we do herd together, as in, you know, there'll be the spiritual, the people that think spiritually, that hang together, and then there'll be the religious people, and then there'll be the people that go hunting, and that do this and do that, and like to do different things. And it's like, we don't cross certain lines, do we?
No, I understand.
So we superficially communicate.
Yes.
But I think this is what I mean about knowing when not to push boundaries.
Yes, I understand. Yet, the point surely should be that debate is healthy, that it is good to see the side of the opposition so that you understand where that opposition is coming from, what mindset it is which creates such an opposing view to something which you view possibly as a truth in your life. How can such a thing be so opposite?
Yes, and they are thinking exactly the same thing.
Yes, it's not as though they're living in a different time field, although perhaps for some people they may actually be living in a closeted world where they don't want to view situations on the outside. They refuse that form of entry into their world. They just continue to deny it even exists.
How can you tell the difference between being inspired by your close contact with your spirit? How can you tell if it's your spirit connection?
Because for one thing, my friend, you may falter a little to begin with words, with whatever, but that you will find that the situation will just flow. It won't be to do necessarily with thoughts and feelings in your mind. You will just simply open your mouth. You don't even need to actually know what it is you're going to say. It's like, my friend, if you are looking at a situation of illumination and you take one word, power, and then you take power and illuminate what power means to you. Try it at home. Take one word, say it out loud, and then talk about it for 5 minutes non-stop. Everything it means to you, every single atom of thought that you bring into your mind on the condition of power. And what you will find is that actually you illuminate far more on one word than you would ever have thought possible in the rest of your life, quite simply because you, when you say the word, you engage with your spirit. You, in a sense, you may actually, and I have to say, it's usually best to stand up doing this. If you have to stand up, even if you're on your own, try it. Stand up and say one word and then talk for 5 minutes straight without pausing, really, for trying to gather your thoughts. Just keep talking and you will find an immense amount of communication will come out from that simple thought or that simple word. And that is showing you, delivering the power of communication via your spirit. And that really is how you tell the difference. If you are not engaged within the spirit, you will struggle. Perhaps you will, even after 30 seconds, not even be able to think of anything to say at all. Nothing. It will just dry up.
And this is just any word? This isn't a word that you think, oh, I know a lot about this.
No. Absolutely.
Random, pick a word.
Any word.
Put a pin in the newspaper.
Anything. Obviously not just a that or the.
No.
But a word that, any doing word or any
calm,
form of adjective.
Calm,
or,
love, anger,
yes,
power.
Yes, absolutely so.
Respect.
Yes, try it. And you will see that, particularly if you stand up to do it, stand up in front of somebody else and do it. This is something which actually, my friend, that I would feel would be of great benefit for those students who are wishing or willing to form any form of communication process for themselves. What they need to do is for them possibly to have an audience. It's something that you can do in workshops all the day long. Just bring about this self-empowerment, this motivation of that you can create so much more with your experience, not just your own personal experience, but with the experience of your spirit, because your spirit has been in existence for millions of years. How much experience do you want in your little single life of 30 years or 35 years or however old you are physically? What you can do, you see, as a physical person, is you can communicate with your spirit and have all of those millions of years of communication, of understanding and creation at your fingertips. All you have to do is just say a word.
Was there anybody on the phone then?
No.
No. Okay, it was just a squeak in my ear.
Yes, mice. Hyper mice.
Yeah. So, okay, so basically, obviously, meditation will help. We can't not mention meditation.
No.
In strengthening the connection with your spirit, that wouldn't be right. But,
yes.
And obviously then, you see, I think that's the other thing. I don't think everybody realizes that it can help you so much in so many different things you do in your just daily life, not when you're purposefully trying to connect with your spirit.
Yes, absolutely so. That's the point. Through inspirational thought and that form of connection, you are actually building the connection with your spirit through every single thing that you do. Relay the pictures and images you see in front of you and talk about them. If you see something in front of you that you're experiencing in your life, talk about it. Actually, even if it means that you're talking to yourself because nobody else is there, don't worry, they won't take you away just yet.
But even just, I think it helps in meeting people, you know, meeting people for the first time. Situations, any situation you can think of, job interviews, you name it.
Yes.
It can help it because you can just click into that mode.
Yes, and it will, in fact, bring about a great confidence and a certain quota of courage, too, because, yes, you will need courage to begin with, but actually, gradually, you will become more comfortable with it, and that is the situation you want to be in. Because that will only then bridge the gap between your physical state and your spirit still stronger, stronger and stronger. It will create that wellness feeling so that you can have much more confidence and be more assured in your life and know where you're going. Or maybe even if you don't know where you're going, at least you'll be able to talk about it. You'll be able to actually explain it to someone else why you took that view, why you went and walked that road.
So you don't wait for a sign, you just do
no.
it. You just speak.
That's right. Don't wait for any sign. Don't say, oh, well, I have to stand up now and talk into your boots or something like that.
Well, a slightly different question. We've only got a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
Would the world be in the terrible state that it's in if we had the internet 50 years ago? I mean, I know...
No, it wouldn't, actually,
right.
My dear friend. What I have to say is that people have lost the art of communication. They have forgotten how to talk. They have forgotten how to listen. Yes, really, and have an opinion. Not listen with quiet resignation, but actually listen and have a voice, have an opinion, create that link. That's the point, and that I feel is what has been so missing within the cultural exchange of your side of life, of the physical state at this point. People must communicate, must move once again into the art of communication, because otherwise everything will fail. You will fail, and society and humanity will fail, and we don't want that from the spirit world, because there are many millions and billions and trillions of beings in the spirit world who want to have a human physical life. Why would you want to keep it all for yourselves?
And ruin it. Well, thank heavens for BBS radio. That's all I say.
Well, absolutely so.
I mean, this is what this station's all about.
Yes, absolutely so. And that is what is so centrally important to the well-being of humanity, that you have ability for people to communicate, not just sit and listen, but communicate.
Dialogue.
Their thoughts and their feelings, their spirit is having a voice. Have your voice.
Wonderful. Okay, well.
God bless and be with you in every thought you have, born of your own communication with your spirit and your inner will.
Thank you, Gregory. God bless.
With love and light.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention quickly once again that we do have our mini-free Akashic reading shows coming up again on the 11th and 14th of June. If you're interested in having a reading, we would need your full name at birth. That's your first, middle, and last name. Your date of birth, your telephone number, just in case I lose your email. One question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. So I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us, or you can book a full Akashic reading or any of the other services that we do, ghost surveys, animal health diagnostics, and geophysical stress surveys. Maybe you have problems with your property, or you're going to buy a property. Anyway, you can find out lots of things on there, lots of things to learn and discover. My name is Sylvie Avery. Thank you very much, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.